Sahana bhavatu, sahanao bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhi tamastuma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. So then, Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3. Bhakti alone is the conclusion of all the scriptures. So page 102. And the Vriti. The next Anucheda concludes the instructions of Krishna to Uddhava, wherein he declares that the devotee is the most intelligent person because by engaging in devotional service, his temporary material body, his material body, which is temporary and which undergoes deformation, he attains permanent resident Goloka and also attains the Lord, who is the sweetest. Yeah, so through devotional service, you cross beyond the encumbrance of the material, the temporary material situation, and then you attain permanent residence and association with the Lord. And not only that, who's the sweetest, right? So because we're worshiping Krishna. Because we always have to see is that the intent is what is going to power something. That whatever you're doing, that it's going to give an effect in that area. Let's say someone's cooking because they want to please the deities. That's going to give one effect. If someone's cooking because they want to please some guests, that gives another effect. Someone's cooking because they want to please themselves. That'll give a different effect. Someone's doing it because they want to show off and show they're the best cook and show that they're better than everyone else. It will give a different effect. So the technique of cooking may be exactly the same in all these situations and actions, but it's the intent that defines what actually is going to be the actual result. Because the physical result isn't actually the main thing. That's just an extension. You've done an action, you get a result. So we'll generally take that as the prayojana. But actually, it's what effect you want to get from that result. That's the prayojana. Right? It means you do this, I'll become happy. Just because you got the thing doesn't mean you'll become happy. Right? So you're doing something, for a purpose. And the mechanics are there to carry that. And through that medium, you get. So in the situation, you perform the action that gives you the result. So all these aspects are all subordinate to what is actually the intent. So when the intent is to please Krishna, then it takes on the most wonderful result. And so here, especially pleasing Krishna with Srimati Radharani, then he's the sweetest. So therefore, gradually you'll get the highest result. Right? So that's the thing. It'll continue until that point. Right? It's not that, it's the same as action as someone else or the karmis are doing. No, but their intent is different. Their result is going to be different. Anucheda 85. At the end of the instructions, Krishna says, Esha buddhi matam buddhir manisha cha manishinam. Yat satyam anrite neha martena pnoti mam ritam. The devotee is the most intelligent among the intelligent and the cleverest amongst the clever because he attains eternity by using his temporary body and attains me, the sweetest, right? So he's using the temporary body, and through that, he's attaining Krishna, the eternal. So this is the most intelligent and the most clever, because clever means that you can practically get something done. You can see what to be done, in a practical way in a situation. So the devotee, through using something temporary, his result is eternal, because others may get a very great material result, but it's temporary, right? someone lives 100 years, it doesn't matter if they have very little or if they're the richest person in the world. After 100 years, they have nothing again. Because when you leave the body, you don't take anything with you. Right? You don't take anything with you. Therefore, what's the real gain? You can say they're intelligent. They gain something. But they're not the intelligent among the intelligent. That's the intelligent among the intelligent are those who get an eternal result, which is way beyond whatever result you can get on the material platform. And people are clever, so then they can get some good practical results. But the devotees are more practical because they end up then attaining service to Krishna, attaining his abode, attaining his association, and the association of his dear devotees, right? And they're attaining Krishna, who's the sweetest of all. Where, you know, there's a taste in everything, but the greatest taste is then serving Krishna. So that means the devotee is the cleverest amongst the clever. So there's nothing higher. Any other direction does not actually, is not an inspiration in bhakti. You know, the professionals, we have to do like this, that. No, they're not the best. They're not the most intelligent. They're not the most clever. And instead of saying, oh, we have to be professional, is why not we have to be cultured? Prabhupada gave us culture, the Vaishnav etiquette, the Vaishnav culture. You follow that, anyone respects you. You see Srila Prabhupada, wherever you went, he was respected. So that's the thing. Being professional, that's just attachment. That's just people's conditioning. You know, if you're saying mechanically when you're doing, yes, okay, that you can be professional. But to say that you're demure and everything is professional, that's bogus. Everybody knows professionals are the most stuck up, terrible people on the planet. You know, I mean, there are one or two might be worse, like Idi Amin or something, you know, like that. But otherwise, it's just they're not, nobody likes them as persons. You know, it's like you go to the doctor because he's the best doctor, you know, in the world. He's the best in his field, but you wouldn't want to spend any time with him personally because he's so proud and puffed up and this and that. So, and if he's not, that's surprise. Oh, he's such a nice person. He's such a gentleman. That's the gentleman that's that. So, yes, in when you perform your duties, that's professional. But the mood, how you're going to attract people's attention is not because you're professional. You're going to attract because of culture, because of character. So that's why it says that by devotional service, the devotee develops all the qualities of the demigods. And if one says, oh, but they're not manifesting, so we have to follow the professionals. Where is this cultured professional demure that they're talking about? Name me one person that's got it. And because of that, their preaching is going so fabulous. Or is it because they have a nice character that's from devotional service? There's not one. We don't track anybody because we're professionals like the karmis. Because that's already going on. There's millions of them. What they're looking for is an answer to that. They're already working with these people. They want to see what's how to do something for the life. Like the person's professional. He's down at the law office. He's doing his things. He's politicking. He's doing his work hard. He's getting the corner office. He's moving up in the company and this and that. But when he sits and reflects on his own, well, no one's there. He's alone. He's not happy. So they want answers to that. The guy's surrounded by professionals. Not that he goes out and sees devotee. He's so professional. And yeah, it's all on the top and it's all happening. So, wow, hey, I want to do that. He's already associating with people, you know, generally much better than us. Now, if you have a professional background and you have a professional abilities, then you use it for Krishna. And that's very, very nice. You can do so many things. People that have that kind of contacts, that kind of connections, they can, you know, they have so much people they can meet and have influence on. And that's very, very nice. But to think that that's what's attracting them, that's foolish. That's absolutely foolish. That's why it says, the devotee is the most intelligent amongst the intelligent because he's a devotee, not because he's qualified on the material platform. Prahlad Maharaj, millions of years after his, you know, pastime with the Lord, people are still talking about it. They're talking about a 5-year-old kid What's his profession? 5-year-old kid. You know? Like that. Narad Muni in his last life is the son of the maidservant, also a 5-year-old kid. Dhruva Maharaj, a 5-year-old kid. Do we see a pattern here? Right? Who in the Bhagavatam is there because in their occupational duties, they're just so perfect? Right? Of the devotees. The Lord comes, then is Maryada, then is Ram, then he does it all very perfectly. But it's about the mood of perfect and doing it very nicely to protect the people and be truthful and chivalrous. But it's all based around qualities. What's the qualities of a professional? Right? So we have to be a professional. Oh, okay. What does that look like? What's the qualities of this profession? Right? He's very good at what he does. Yeah, so many people are good at what he does. Like the guy down at the corner that sits on the corner and fixes shoes. He can do that. You can't. So he's professional. Right? Professional means just anybody who's good at what they do. You know, reliable, responsible. You know, like that. That's professional. But when we say professional, we mean, no, it has to be certain occupations. Doctors, lawyers. You know, whoever it is that we, you know, bureaucrats, you know, these kind of things that we've designated that this is something special. But Prabhupada, when he gives the example of expert, he gives an example of the guy fixing shoes. He can take a shoe that's got a hole in it and fix it. You can't. I can't. But he can. So that's professional. So is that what we're looking for? But no, they're, whoever is there, particular attachment and who they are enamored by, that's what's being mentioned. But if you take qualities, what's the qualities of a professional? Right? They're proud. They think they're better than everybody. Yeah, they're good at their work, but they're only good for themselves. When they want to be good, they're good. When they don't want to be good, they're not. So is that what Krishna's teaching in Gita when he talks about performing your duties? You know, because they should be done. So the mode of goodness, is that what Krishna is talking about? That they're doing? No. The only reason that they're the ones situated nicely in passion. So therefore, in ignorance, we think passion is fabulous. In goodness, we wouldn't even know what it was. So we have to be very, very careful here. Is that the devotee is the most intelligent. He's the most clever. Who? Because he has the culture and mentality of a devotee. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The meaning is this. He who can receive 1,000 coins by giving 1 coin is said to be most intelligent and skillful in this world. He who attains diamonds or a gold coin in exchange for a small coin is called intelligent, skillful. A person who can take a gold coin from a sober, intelligent person is called intelligent, skillful. But one cannot say who is intelligent enough to attain a Chintamani or a Kamadhenu. The inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi, who are mortal and born in low families, offer to me their bodies not worth a penny, which are deformed and afflicted with old age and disease. But they attain me, the ocean of sweetness. Accepting their offerings, I, who am supposed to be the cleverest, out of joy give myself with my priceless ornaments, bracelets, and crown to the devotees. Such inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi are the most intelligent and most skillful. Giving one's body to the Lord means to engage the ear and other organs in hearing, chanting, remembering, service. If the tongue is engaged in chanting, if the ears are engaged in hearing, if the hands are engaged in service, then one is giving one's body to the Lord. But the Lord is attained even by offering only one part of the body. What intelligent person would not do this? This verse is the touchstone among verses, the essence of all the Lord's teachings. He who has this verse shining in his heart shines in the assembly of devotees. Sardartha Darshani 11:29-22. Right. So he mentions the skillful person in the material world. But Krishna is going beyond this, because you have to remember is that the ability that anybody has, any of the sciences, any of the arts, any of the occupations, they all come from Krishna. Krishna is the most intelligent, most clever in all of these. So on the material platform, somebody is clever at this, but then, you know, then, but they're doing that on the material platform, the material body. And by the time they do become successful for many, half their life or two thirds of their life is gone. So there's a short time left. You know, it's really, you know, interesting. You have this 70-year-old guy driving around in the top down in this fancy car, but it's like, how much longer can he drive? Right? Another few years, and then he'll have to have someone else drive for him. So, it, you know, so he's clever, he's intelligent, but the most intelligent is going to be Krishna's devotees, because they capture the attention of Krishna, who is the most intelligent and skillful. Right? Good? Yeah. The commentary says, "For the result of worshiping me for a person who is clever and discriminating is described. That intelligence is illustrated. The intelligence and cleverness attain in this birth, Iha, eternity, Satyam, and me, Ma, the sweetest, using this temporary body, Anritena. Budihi means discrimination, and Mani Sha means cleverness." Sridhar Swami uses, okay, that ends that there. So then Jiva Goswami continues. Sridhar Swami uses the word ataha at the beginning of the commentary to indicate that this is the conclusion after the whole discussion of bhakti. Right, so then this is, you know, this concludes, this is then, Krishna's pointing out is that he's brought it up to this point. The devotee is the topmost. That position of bhakti, it's the topmost achievement. It's the most intelligent thing to do. It's the most clever thing to do. And it gives the best result that no other action can give. And not only that, he's doing the actions that others are doing. They're getting a temporary result. And he's getting an eternal result. So you can't compare. You can say, oh, but he did it and he got, you know, billions of dollars. But yeah, but the devotee did the same thing and he's getting eternity, which is worth more. That, I can guarantee you, that rich man with billions and billions, hundreds of billions, if he could trade that for eternal life, he'd do it. You know, those in the, and, you know, we talk about the billionaires, they're on the news. The rich guys are trillionaires. The really rich guys. You don't hear about them. So then the devotee already attains what they would love to attain. They want to be eternally happy. That's why they're working so hard to get so much money or so much skill or so much recognition or so much authority and power. The devotee gets that just by whatever they're doing with their body, mind, and words, they do it for Krishna. Even if it's something very simple. But they get the eternal, they get the result that every living entity is trying to get, but doesn't know that the secret is devotional service. Harish Chandra, Rantidev, Uchavritti, Mugdala, Shibi, Bali, the legendary hunter and pigeon, and many others have attained the permanent by means of the impermanent. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:72-21. So then he's concluding that all these great personalities, they've come and they have attained the permanent by the means of the impermanent. So when you take the impermanent, you engage it in Krishna's service, since it all belongs to Krishna anyway. Then you attain and do that in devotion, then you attain the eternal. You attain the permanent. So it's the only way. There is nothing else. All these other ideas of, you know, mixing karma and jnana and this, no, that's not the perfection. The perfection is pure devotional service. And according to our stage, we may be engaging whatever we have on whatever platform, we may be involved in karma again. But the point is we're trying to engage the result in Krishna's service. That's the secret. It's not the karma again that is the value. Just like this temporary material body, its value is only in as much as we can engage in Krishna's service. That's all its value is. Yes, we're good with good. Yes?
Okay. Yes.
Riti. The next Anucheda presents the concluding teachings of Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. It is illustrated how each and every chapter of the 12th canto begins and concludes with glorification of bhakti, represented by hearing, of course, pastimes. After elaborating various processes in the 11th canto, Sukadeva Goswami praises bhakti exclusively in his concluding teachings. Maharaj Parikit, after being instructed by Sukadeva Goswami, desires to meditate on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, disregarding the process of Brahma Gyan. Sudha Goswami also asserts that Parikit has attained freedom from the fear of death by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Thus, all the speakers and hearers unanimously praise bhakti as the only process to attain the Lord. 12th Canto Proofs, Anucheda 86. At the end of Sukadeva's teachings, bhakti is glorified, using hearing as an example. Quote, for a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries, and even for persons who desire to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except cultivating the nectar of the narrations of the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.40. Right? So, you know, getting out of the suffering, and who want to therefore cross over this insurmountable material existence, he says there's no suitable boat except cultivating the nectar of the narration of the Supreme Lord. Nothing else will get you. Mayavads cannot get you to that position. The Buddhists cannot get you to a position. No one else, no other religious process can get you to that position except cultivating the nectar of the narrations of the Supreme Lord's pastimes. There is only that. Other things can be used as supportive if you're doing this. You know, if it comes naturally and it is supportive. But the point is nothing else will give you this result. So there is no question that there is something else to do other than devotional service. So if we find devotional service isn't working, then, you know, for us in our mind, then we should just work harder, associate better, chant more, you know, be more serious when we're, you know, doing our services. There isn't anything else. Udhriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. The topics of the Lord are like life-sustaining medicine for all types of devotees, and even for those desiring liberation. Even those who desire liberation cannot achieve liberation without these topics. That is described in this verse. And Sukadeva Goswami is one who was on the liberated platform and didn't want to appear in the material world because he didn't want to become covered by it. But when he was told that no, by being absorbed in the Lord's holy, you know, name, form, qualities, and pastimes, then you'll be unaffected. So therefore you can't say, oh, this is just an exaggeration, or he's giving this. This is coming from someone who is liberated. No one can argue that point. No one can argue against that, oh, but it's not for me, there's other things. Where is that liberated person? What are they saying? Even we see our, you know, Shankaracharya, his last teaching was Bhajagovindam, 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 Bhunamate. You have to worship the Lord. You have to glorify the Lord. That was his final instruction. Of course, they don't understand it. They take it so many other ways. You know, and then when he gives secondary aspects that are supportive of worship of Govinda, they take it, those are the actual instruction. They take the secondary. So we have to remember, he came to bewilder the Buddhists, and bewilder the Buddhists he did. Buddhists are already bewildered, and he bewildered them into following the Vedas. Or is this the answer to the question you asked at the beginning? What should a dying person do? Other than food, there is nothing that can satisfy intolerable hunger. There is no other means for crossing material existence, such as jnana. Right? So, in other words, other than food, there's nothing else you can do except eating. If you have intolerable hunger, you have to eat. You can't go on a roller coaster ride. You know, you can't watch a movie. You know, you can't go to sleep. You know, you can't, you know, whatever it is, listen to some music. You know, whatever it is that you think you're going to do. No, you have to eat. So he's pointing out here is that it says there's no other means such as gyan. And gyan is famous for being a method to get over crossing material existence. So if that doesn't work, it can't get you across the material existence, karma won't, vikarma won't, you know, just being an animal won't, nothing will. So when you say here, jnana won't, then you include anything that's lower than that. That would be like giving a garland and sandalwood to a person suffering from hunger. Right? Nice, but he's still hungry. You know, and he'll appreciate the recognition or the, you know, the comfort of that, but he's still hungry. Right? So we get distracted by the position, by honor, by fame, by wealth, by facility, you know, all these things. But it doesn't satisfy the soul. It won't give us what we're looking for. Therefore, we keep going. Even you get what you're looking for, then you move on. You've been waiting 5 years for this to happen. And when it happens, you know, you're happy about it for a short time. And then you move on to other things. Right? But on the spiritual platform, it's so wonderful. Attaining that, attaining service to Krishna, that happiness is eternal. Every moment is eternal. It lasts. So whatever experience you're getting, it doesn't get old. It remains. And just you add. So it's unlimited. Here is, you know, this will be explained later. You should not accept jnana, by which I cover the great secret of bhakti, as the recommended process. Right? So this is Krishna speaking. Rasa in this verse means sweetness produced by the topics of the Lord's pastimes. One should not prescribe any other medicine except this nectar for persons suffering in the great fire of material life. Sardarta Darshani 12:4-40. So, and when we talk about that, the Lord's pastimes, that means all of pastimes. It means also that of the creation, you know, the maintenance, the destruction of the worlds, then, you know, his Leela avatars, how he comes to attract his different pastimes and interact with the devotees, you know, the different realms that he's in, all these different, all of that is included. So when it says rasa, that doesn't mean, oh, it's only Krishna and the gopis and all that. That's sahajiyas. They're idiots. They're fools. The commentary says, quote, there's no other boat for crossing, lava, since there is no other method. One should hear as much as possible, right? There's no other method. Therefore, as much as possible that you can hear and chant, that you should do. No other means is possible because other actions of bhakti accompany the hearing process, right? Along with hearing, then you do other things. We're here, we apply them, we do. So all the senses get engaged. Therefore, there's no need of something separate, or you hear something, so then you analyze how that applies into your life, into the situation, or how it applies for others. So the intellectual process is being used, you're engaging your emotions and everything, the sense, it's all being engaged. There's nothing left out. The remaining chapters also have the same introduction and conclusion, upakrama and upasamhara. The introduction is as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Lord, soul of the universe, from whose satisfaction Brahma is born and from whose anger Rudra takes birth. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:5-1. The conclusion glorifies hearing, since the main method of bhakti is hearing the Lord's pastimes because of its great power. Quote, beloved King Parikit, I have narrated to you the topics you originally inquired about, the pastimes of Hari, the soul of the universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? Right? So he's saying, you know, what to do. So he's narrated the pastimes of the Lord. So he's done that now and established that hearing. What else would you like to hear? Right? So it's not that, okay, we've done the hearing. Now, you know, we go do something else. Now let's go play cricket or something, you know, like that. Thus, the main topic is bhakti, represented by hearing the Lord's pastimes, since that is indicated in introductory and closing remarks. Right, so from whose satisfaction the Lord Brahma is born, and from whose anger Rudra takes birth. So the Supreme Lord, he does these pastimes. So it's again talking about his pastimes. Like that. Teaching of jnana, Srimad Bhagavatam 12:5-2, in the middle are simply to show that Parikit was fixed in bhakti, which has already been understood. It is like the Lord's offering of liberation to his devotees, right? They're already liberated, and then he offers, but they already have. By his being fixed in bhakti, he had given up fear of death already, right? So it's not by being liberated. It's because he's fixed in bhakti and fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. He has no interest in anything else. So if your identity is servant of the Lord, what's there to be afraid of? Right? If your goal is simply to please the Lord, then your only point is to always be absorbed. So we see Prahlad Maharaj was only worried about the material, being distracted from that by the material existence. But that was his only disturbance. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is being fixed in serving and remembering the Lord. There's no fear. There's nothing to, And because he identifies as a servant, he's not fearful of his relationship with the Lord. After hearing the teachings of Jnana, it will be shown that he remained fixed in bhakti. Quote, after having previously concluded that both were to be rejected, giving up this world and swarga, thinking service to Krishna's lotus feet is the highest goal, he sat down with a vow of not eating on the bank of the Ganga. Srimad Bhagavatam 119.5. Making this decision to sit without eating on the bank of the Ganga, Parikshit Maharaj, without thoughts of other processes or deities, peacefully and free from all material attachments, concentrated on the feet of Mukunda, Srimad Bhagavatam 119.7. Right? He had given up fear. The Brahmanas and Ganga Devi should know that I am surrendered and have dedicated my heart to the Lord. Let the snake released by the Brahmana, even if it is an imposter, bite me. Please sing topics concerning the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 119.15. Not caring for the teachings on jnana, right? You see, he gave up all other things. And then he's just taking this. Not caring for the teachings on jnana, he thought himself successful by bhakti through hearing. Quote, I have now achieved the purpose of my life because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me since you have spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Lord who has no beginning or end, whom I directly saw. I do not find it amazing that great souls such as you, whose minds are always absorbed in the Lord, show mercy to the foolish conditioned souls suffering in this world. I have heard from you this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a summary of all the Puranas, and which describes the Supreme Lord along with other themes. My Lord, I have now no fear of Takshaka or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths. But I fear entering the impersonal Brahman, which destroys fear, about which you have just taught me. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:6-5, right? So he's afraid of that because being afraid of, because in Brahman, there's no connection, you're not absorbed in the Lord. You're just thinking, I am Brahman. That's it. I'm Brahman. Okay. But the point is, since we're covered by Maya, that means we're not the Supreme Brahman. So then what's the Supreme Brahman? What's the relationship with that Supreme Brahman? And so there's no service. There's no hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. And so he's afraid of that. This one verse speaks of Brahma Gyan being the cause of destroying fear of Takshaka, but only to show respect for previous statements made by Krishna. However, after that, he prays for permission to meditate on the Lord and glorify the Lord's name using words and mind. O Brahmana, please give me permission to resign my speech to Adhokshicha, absorbing my mind purified by desires and impressions, or purified of desires and impressions in the Lord, absorbing my mind purified of desires and impressions in the Lord, permit me to give up my life. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:6-6. Then in the next verse, Parikshit shows that jnana, which destroys ignorance, is included in the bliss of seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. You have revealed to me the supreme form of the Lord. By being fixed in knowledge of the Lord and in realization of his sweetness and powers, my ignorance has been eradicated. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:6-7. The word padam indicates the Lord's lotus feet since this was previously stated. Parikshit, the great devotee with pure intelligence attained liberation in the form of the feet of the Lord, having a flag marked with Garuda. through knowledge spoken by Sukadeva, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:18-16. The meaning of this section is made clear by Sutta. Because he had taken shelter of the Lord, he did not become bewildered with great fear from the life-threatening snake called Takshaka, because called by the curse of the Brahmana, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:18-2. Quote, those who remember the lotus feet of the Lord, those who relish the nectar of pastimes concerning the Lord, and those whose very lives are the Lord, do not have confusion even at the time of death. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:18-4. The king asked the question, I asked the supreme guru of the yogis, but what is complete perfection and what is to be done at all times for attaining that complete perfection for a man about to die? Srimad Bhagavatam 1:19-37. Sukadeva instructs chanting and meditating on the Lord. Therefore, O King, endeavor with all your might to fix the Supreme Lord Kesava within your heart while dying. You will certainly attain the supreme destination by remembering the Lord with attention. Fix your mind, avahitaha, on Kesava. Mriya maner abhidheyo bhagavan parameshvaraha atma bhavam nayatyanga sarvatma sarva samshrayaha. O King, the Supreme Lord, the ultimate controller, the soul of all beings and the supreme shelter of all beings, the object of meditation for a dying person, produces prema for the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:350. Right? So you see it's going here between the 12th and the first canto, because the first canto is then when he meets Prakrit Maharaj, meets Sukadeva Goswami, then Prakrit Maharaj has already established that he wants to be fixed in devotional service and just hear about the Lord. Then Sukadeva explains all about the Lord and that, and about the supremacy of devotional service. And now then in this concluding state, so he's asking, is there anything more you want to hear? And then keeps confirming that hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, that's the real process. That's by that, and then practicing that, then naturally all other processes of devotion are included. And we see that any secondary aspects get engaged as they are useful. The Lord produces bhava for himself, atma bhavam. What is the use of jnana, which takes effort to bring results? O King, quote, O King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting about Krishna, one can become freed from material bondage and attain prema. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:3, 49-51. Right, so then this group of verses is pointing out is that it's the essential thing. So in Kali Yuga, even though it's an ocean of faults, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, then one can be freed from material bondage and attain prema. There is one good quality in Kali Yuga, because he, from chanting alone, kirtanad eva, which does not require effort like jnana, one attains the Supreme Lord. Quote, there is no other auspicious path for those suffering in the material world, because this path produces prema for Bhagavan, Vasudeva, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:2-33. This section ends by concluding in bhakti yoga with its various angas. In response to your question about the activities of a dying man, I have explained the two paths according to yoga. And for those who are intelligent among men and dying, I have explained the path of bhakti. Right, so what's the purpose of a dying man? It's by two paths according to yoga. But those who are intelligent, then he's explained for them the path of bhakti. Right? Bhakti culminates in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Those who drink the sweet pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, held in the cups of their ears, clean the hearts of all contamination, their hearts of all contamination, and attain the lotus feet of the Lord for service. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:2-37. Therefore, it is correctly concluded that Sukadeva's instruction on dying, starting in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.5.2, which appeared to be gyan, are to show Parikshit fixed bhakti only. The Lord's instructions indicate bhakti only. So they're there. They may use the medium of gyan to show, you know, it's a nice situation. But we see Parikshit Maharaj is not interested in that nice situation. He's interested in being absorbed in the Lord's pastimes. And so then that becomes the stronger. That becomes the only actual position. This is the meaning of the following also. Quote, O great soul, please speak so that I can give up the body absorbing my mind, devoid of material desires, in Krishna, who is the soul of all beings. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.3. Sukadeva spoke thus. Right. Are we good on all these things? Yeah? Okay. Anucheda 87 to 91. Five verses spoken by Sutta also indicate bhakti. Even the stage of jnana, quote, even the stage of jnana without the bondage of karma is not glorious because it is devoid of bhakti to the Supreme Lord. What is the use of having destroyed ignorance? What then to speak of sakama karma, which is suffering during practice and perfection, and nishkam karma when not offered to the Lord? Right? So if jnana, which destroys ignorance, is not glorious here, then what's the point of sakam karma or nishkam karma? Because they're going to be suffering also. So his point is that only bhakti is the only real thing. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.12.53. The commentary says, it is necessary to respect kirtan more than jnana and karma. That is expressed in this verse. If jnana, which gives freedom from karma, because it destroys upadis, niranjanam, is devoid of bhakti for the Lord, there will not lead to any realization, na shobate, because there's no realization, because you don't know who you are. You say, I'm Brahman, but because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we don't know that, so we actually don't know who we are. We only have a partial understanding. Others think that the body, they give that up. So yes, they don't think they're the body, and they don't identify, at least seemingly, with the material energy. But they don't actually know. They know they're Brahman, but they don't actually know how they actually, what's their relationship as Brahman. So it can't be satisfying. You can't know, you can't be satisfied if you don't know who you are, you know, what you're supposed to do. Quote, the great endeavor one undergoes in executing varnashram duties, in performing austerities, and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in fame and wealth. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the Lord's qualities, one can remember his lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.12.54. Okay, so this becomes the most important aspect, because the varnashram dealt fame and wealth. It only maintains you, you know, both socially and physically. That's what it does. That's its purpose. So then the results of that giving to the Lord, it's the devotional service that makes it of value. Otherwise, what's the point of wealth and fame when it will all be lost? In a moment, it can be lost. The commentary says, the great paraha, endeavor in performing varnashram austerities and study of the Vedas ends only in the wealth accompanied by fame, and not the supreme purushartha. By hearing and chanting about the Lord's qualities, however, one remembers the lotus feet of the Lord. Right. So we know from before, yes, you can engage, but this is the clear thing. It's only by bhakti. Therefore, I want to be engaged in bhakti. That's all I want to be able to do. But at the same time, because of my conditioning, I get distracted by so many other things. So, yes, all those things, what can favorably engage in Krishna's service, I will deal with those things, but in relationship to Krishna. Because only bhakti is actually of any value. And so it only, and whatever I'm attached to only has a value because of its being connected to Krishna through bhakti. So, yes, in the interim stage, I may do that. But I know that it's bhakti that is the actual thing. It's the one that's powering things. It's the one that's uplifting. And these others, they do not lift one beyond the material. They can't take you beyond. They can't take you to the other side of this ocean. When it says this ocean, even you get liberated, you're still within the Mahatattva. You still think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So you're still within the material ocean. You just may be in a subtler on the platform of Vishuddha Sattva, but you're still on this side. You're not on that side. You're still here. You're not there. From in the universe, it's called there. But once you get there, you'll find it's here. And there is the spiritual realm. Quote, remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and allows one to fix the intelligence on the Lord. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion to the Lord, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. And so it's the other way around. By bhakti, then you get that knowledge and realization and renunciation, because it's knowledge of the Lord in context of the Lord. All these other things come along with that. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12-55. The meaning is clear. Yuyam dvija griya bhata puri bhaga yachashvad atman yakilatma bhutam narayanam devam adeva isham ajashrabhava bhajata viveshya. O most eminent of brahmanas, you are all indeed extremely fortunate, since you have already placed within your hearts Narayana, the supreme controller and the ultimate soul of all existence, beyond whom there is no other God. Having undeviating love for him, please worship him. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12-56. The commentary says, he speaks to give joy to the listeners and himself in two verses. O best of the brahmanas, since, you have placed Narayana in your antakarana, atmani, always I assume you worship him, bhajata. The imperative form is used to indicate a supposition. Therefore, you are most fortunate. The Lord is described. He is the antayami of all beings, akhilatma bhutam, and thus to be worshipped by all, devam. There is no other deva than him, adi devam. Why? He is the controller, Isham. Or, because you are most fortunate, endowed with austerity and other qualities, worship Narayana. This is a command. Right? So he's saying it's imperative. Right? It must be done. So that's Sridhar Swami. Jiva Goswami continues. Performing austerities and other actions become successful by worship of Narayana. That is Sridhar Swami's intended meaning. Right? So it's the other, by bhakti, then these other aspects, austerities and other, they become perfect. The varnashram, the karma, the jnana, all these different things, austerity, they all become perfect by being engaged, by performing bhakti. Quote, I also now fully remember the nature of God, which I previously heard from the mouth of the great sage Sukadeva Goswami. While the great sages heard him speak in the assembly to King Parikit, as the monarch sat fasting until death, Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12-57. Incidentally, besides remembering Krishna, I also, Cha, have been made to remember Narayana, the antayami of all beings, Atma Tattvam. I have developed great longing for him. That is the meaning. I heard about the Lord from Sukadeva. Sutta spoke thus. Riti, having proven bhakti as the Abhideya, the next Anucheda states that bhakti is the purport of all histories and is the highest dharma for all beings. Anucheda 92. Thus it has been proved that the Abhideya or process is bhakti in the teachings presented by Guru instructing disciple in the Bhagavatam. Quote, O great soul, Please tell us if it concerns Krishna or concerns his devotees who lick the honey from his lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.6. According to this, the purport of all histories, itihasa, is bhakti alone. These words are not discussed because the sandarbha would become too large. They should be examined elsewhere. Relating to this, it is said. Because otherwise, you can go on unlimitedly. So he wants to keep it down to the essence so that we catch the thread. Otherwise, yeah. They should be, okay, related to this, it is said, quote, pure bhakti to the Supreme Lord, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the real dharma, the supreme object for the human being in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.22. The greatest dharma for all human beings, Pumsham, is bhakti alone, etavan, and nothing more. This is direct bhakti with chanting the name. The word eva only rejects other methods decisively. These types of bhakti are used for producing good results in karma or other processes. They are no longer parad dharma, since offenses committed by using bhakti for insignificant material gains. Bhakti also gives temporary material results. Yama spoke thus to his servants, right? So these beginning stages where you're engaging these things like that, and because of your own need and attachment to them, then they're actually, in one sense, it's on the level, because we're on the level, you know, on that level would be on the level of, you know, offensive chanting or that. So naturally, it's not going to be ideal. But as is pointed out, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that, you know, example in a prayer to Krishna, that for someone who's walking on the ground and they slip, their only shelter is the ground. You're walking on the earth, you slip, but your only shelter is still only the earth. So even though if you've made mistakes, you've made an offense like that to the Lord in bhakti by thinking that these other processes are as important as bhakti or even more like that, it's offensive. But the only solution is to continue trying to engage your position, whatever it is, in Krishna's service. So we have to understand it's the devotional part that's the real substance. And all the other things, yes, we may have our attachments and needs. We engage those, but we have to understand they're secondary. Just as the conditioned nature of the gross and subtle body is secondary. It's not the soul is primary. So bhakti is for the soul. Bhakti is primary. The soul is primary. Then the conditioned nature of the body and mind are secondary. And therefore, varnashram, austerities, all these things that are also secondary. They match with that. So you can engage it in Krishna's service, but to think that it's important on its own or things like that, then it's improper. If you think that, no, through this we will get bhakti, it's wrong. Yes? Good. Riti. Next, it is proven that the path of bhakti is free from fear of any obstacles. Anucheda 93. It is also said, the path followed by, I guess, a person or persons who are friendly, virtuous, and surrendered to Narayana is certain, auspicious, and without fear of obstacles. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.17. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As confirmed here by the word sadrich-chinaha, bhakti is the path that is appropriate, not the paths of karmakanda and jnanakanda. Mayavadis may be shushila, sadhava, well-behaved saintly persons, but there's nevertheless some doubt about whether they are actually making progress, for they have not accepted the path of bhakti, right? It means they may be, you know, well-behaved saintly persons, but without accepting the path of bhakti, then it's doubtful if they're going to make any progress. On the other hand, those who follow the path of the acharyas are shushilaha and sadhava. But furthermore, the path is akuto bhaya, which means free from fear. One should fearlessly follow the 12 Mahajans and their line of disciplic succession, and thus be liberated from the clutches of maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.17, purport. The path mentioned is bhakti to Narayan. Sukadeva spoke thus. Riti, Having stated that the path of bhakti is all auspicious, the next Anucheda affirms bhakti as the final fruit of all the scriptures. Anucheda 94. Bhakti is the final fruit of all scriptures. Shrutasya pumsam suchira shramasya nan vanjasa studibhir iditor ta. Ha. Tat tad gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu yesham. The goal of a person engaged in hearing scripture from a guru for a long time, praised by the great devotees, is hearing the glories of those in whose hearts Mukunda resides, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.13.4. The goal, artaha, of a person engaged in understanding the Vedas, Shrutasya, praised iditaha by devotees, is hearing the qualities of devotees in whose heart the lotus feet of the Lord reside. Thus one should hear about Mukunda. Right? So hearing about the Lord means hearing about how the devotees are engaged with the Lord. Because you hear about the Lord, just the Lord, and how he's created everything, expanded everything, and how he's controlling everything. So that aspect is there. But naturally, the name, form, qualities, pastimes are coming into it. Is that then how he and his devotees are interacting, how the love that devotees have for Krishna, how Krishna reciprocates that. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.13.4. The goal, artha, artaha, of a person engaged in understanding the Vedas, shushutasya, praised, thus it is said, quote, Vasudeva is the purport of the Vedas. Vasudeva is the object of all sacrifices. Yoga, varnashram, knowledge, and austerities are all dependent on Vasudeva. Bhakti is dependent on Vasudeva. Prema and liberation are dependent on Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2, 28.29. The unchanging Brahman reviewed three times the Vedas, reviewed three times the Vedas completely with his intelligence and determined that process which produces prema in the self. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.34. Smartavyasatatam Vishnor Vishmartavyo Jaduchit Sarve Vidhi Nishedha Sur Etayor Eva Kinkaraha. One should always remember Vishnu and never forget him. All positive and negative injunctions are servants of these two. Alodya sarva shastrani vicharya cha punah punaha idam eva shunish pannam yeyo narayana sada. Reviewing all scriptures again and again, it is definitely concluded that Narayana should be the object of meditation. Vidya tapo jnana yonir ayonir vishnur iditaha brahma gyas Tapate deva devaf priyatam me janardanaha. Vishnu, who is without cause, is praised as the cause of knowledge, austerity, and meditation. Nor Brahman performs austerities for him. May the Lord be pleased with me. So the means he is, because he's the cause of knowledge, austerity, and meditation, therefore they only attain perfection when connected with him. We think, no, but these are important. No, but they come from Krishna. So unless they're engaged in bhakti, they can't actually give any proper result. They can't give an eternal result. So we always have to remember, everything's coming from Krishna. This idea that karma and jnana are separate on their own. No, they still come from Krishna. And the perfection of them is their engagement in Krishna's service. So it's Krishna, it's bhakti that is the essential point. Vidura spoke thus the verse. Riti. Thus the current Adhikarana proved that the conclusion of all Vedic knowledge is to perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord by citing systematically from different cantos of Bhagavatam and also from other Upanishads and Puranas. The next Adhikarana. Thoroughly affirms the superiority of bhakti over all other paths by demonstrating the all-inclusive nature of bhakti, right? How everything, so it's gone through and often brought it to bhakti. Now it'll show how And the other way, how bhakti includes everything. Right. Yeah. And so then that ends that adhikarana. How are we doing on time? Yes. Okay. So we're all good? Yes. Okay. So thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.